Some of you may know that the actual feast day of St. Francis was October 4th, this past Friday, the day on which the Church remembers the life and witness of St. Francis. This worship service that we are participating in this morning is sort of a hybrid. We include some elements that speak of St. Francis and who he was, and also some portion of the regular worship that we would have on this given Sunday. If we were to have a service, say, on Friday or some other day that was solely devoted to St. Francis, the collect for that day, the prayer for that day, referring to St. Francis, would be this one. Most High, Omnipotent, Good Lord, grant your people grace, gladly to renounce the vanities of this world, that following in the way of Blessed Francis, we may, for love of you, delight in your whole creation with perfect joy. I may have shared with you before one of my favorite quotes about Francis, which is in our Book of Saints, which says that Francis is probably, of all the saints, the most admired and the least emulated. Grant your people grace gladly to renounce the vanities of this world. Francis gave up all of his worldly possessions. And following the way of Blessed Francis, we may, for love of you, delight in your whole creation with perfect joy. There's one really significant change that I would like to make in that collect. Not that there's anything wrong with the sentiment or the theology behind that prayer, that St. Francis collect, but I would like to make one, what I think is profound change, to change the order of the intercessions. The collect, as it's written, goes like this. First, it says, grant us first to renounce the vanities of this world, so that, secondly, we may delight in your whole creation. Certainly in my own life, and probably in others as well, on a practical standpoint, in terms of our own spiritual lives, doesn't it work better? Isn't it more effective if we do it the other way around? If we start first with delighting in God's creation, grant us, Lord, so to delight with exuberant joy in the fullness of your creation, as did Francis. And then, maybe with God's help, we can do a little bit better job of putting aside the vanities of this world. Start first with that joy and thanksgiving that we see in the wonder of God's creation, manifest certainly in the animals and in the pets, but in the fullness of God's creation. Grant us first, Lord, to celebrate with joy your creation. Put that thanksgiving first. I was thinking about this not just because of St. Francis. I'm also in the middle of a book, reading a book called Braiding Sweetgrass. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. It's been out for, I think, a little while, but it has just filtered down through the family lending tree to me. It's by Robin Wall Kimmerer. She is, by academic training, an ecologist, a scientist, and she teaches ecology. But she is also Native American. She is a member of the Potawatomi people. She currently lives, though, in New York, upstate New York. And the Native folk who are closest to where she currently lives are part of the Onondaga tribe. And Kimmerer, in this book, devotes one chapter to describing the practice at the local Onondaga school. The school for children that is on the Onondaga reserve, on their current homeland. Every school day in this Onondaga school begins with something called the Thanksgiving Address. The Thanksgiving Address. The Thanksgiving Address is described as the central prayer and invocation for the, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Haudenosaunee peoples, known to Europeans as the Iroquois Confederacy, which includes the Onondaga people. The Thanksgiving Address reflects their relationship of giving thanks for life and the world around them. The Haudenosaunee open and close every social and religious meeting with the Thanksgiving Address. It is also said as a daily sunrise prayer at the beginning of the day, and is an ancient message of peace and appreciation of Mother Earth and her inhabitants. It is how the day begins. And there are, as I understand it, as many variations on the Thanksgiving Address as there are native speakers offering it. And yet they do also offer it broadly to all of us as something that may be of value to us. It begins like this. Today we have gathered, and we see that the cycles of life continue. We have been given the duty and responsibility to live in balance and harmony with each other and all living things. So now we bring our minds together as one, as we give our greetings and our thanks to one another as people. Now our minds are one. We are thankful to our mother, the earth, for she gives us all that we need for life. She supports our feet as we walk about upon her. It gives us joy that she continues to care for us as she has from the beginning of time. To our mother, we send our greetings and our thanks. Now our minds are one. We give thanks to all the waters of the world, for quenching our thirst and for providing us with strength. Water is life. We know its power in many forms, waterfalls and rain, mists and streams, rivers and oceans. With one mind, we send our greetings and our thanks to the spirit of water. Now our minds are one. We turn our minds to all the fish life in the water. They were instructed to cleanse and purify the water. They also give themselves to us as food. We are grateful that we can still find pure water. So now we turn to the fish and send our greetings and our thanks. Now our minds are one. It continues with a series of these expressions of thanksgiving and sending thanks to the plants, the food plants, medicine plants, animals, trees, birds, the four winds, the thunders, the sun, Grandmother Moon, the stars, the wisdom keepers, finally, the Creator. Now we turn our thoughts to the Creator and send our greetings and our thanks for all the gifts of creation. Everything we need to live a good life is here, on this Mother Earth. For all the love that is around us, we gather our minds together as one and send our choicest words of greetings and thanks to the Creator. Now our minds are one. Just a few reflections on this particular way of giving thanks. In the book, Braiding Sweetgrass, Kimmerer talks about how part of the power of this address rests in the amount of time it takes to send thanks to so many. And in our hurried world, to pause and count and give thanks for the breadth of goodness that is offered to us in creation is a powerful act. And I'm also struck that the peoples have noticed that in this giving thanks, in this corporate act of giving thanks, they are brought together as one. In the act of giving thanks together, they come together. Now our minds are one. It is a uniting act to send thanks. And finally, Kimmerer again reflects, you can't listen to the Thanksgiving address without feeling wealthy. And while expressing gratitude seems innocent enough, it is a revolutionary idea in a consumer society. This sense of contentment and thanksgiving is a radical proposition. Recognizing abundance rather than scarcity runs counter to our whole social economy that thrives by creating unmet desire. Gratitude cultivates an ethic of fullness. The Thanksgiving address reminds us that we have everything we need. To start each day first by sending thanks, by noticing, giving, and sending thanks, to start with that sense of gratitude and unshakable connectedness with one another and with creation. Surely, starting there, we will find it not so hard from time to time to put aside the vanities of this world. Start with gratitude and thanksgiving. It can change your life. Amen.
Amen.